This morning we were in Luke chapter 8. We talked about Jesus stilling the storm and they're on their way across the Sea of Galilee. The parallel passages are in Matthew chapter 8 and then Mark chapter 5. So we're going to go to the passage in Mark tonight and continue on from there. Each passage kind of helps us to give us a little more insight or understanding to the whole picture. They talk about the same event, but some of the details are found in one and not the other. I hope you'll continue to work at inviting people to come to our first podcast, which will be held as a forum, a live audience, so people can come and they'll be asking questions about investing, how to get started, and how to be responsible with your money. A Christian ought to be responsible. Second thing I want to mention is I'm 2 weeks from today in Sunday school hour at 9:30, I'm starting a new Christian class, so people that want to get a better foundation for their Christian life will be meeting my office, just a small gathering. It's a give and take. You can ask questions and things, but we will have a simple curriculum. So if you're interested in that, see me, let me know. But that'll be 2 weeks from today, first Sunday of February. The podcast a week from Tuesday, I believe that's correct, 27th or 28th, that's in the bulletin. So invite somebody to come. Mark chapter 5, I'm not going to read the entire passage, which goes all the way down really through verse 20, but to save time, we'll read the first portion of it, and then we'll add a few verses a little bit later. And they came over unto the other side of the sea. Remember now, Jesus just stilled the storm. He said, peace be still. The waters calmed immediately. And he said, oh, you have little faith. He rebuked the disciples. And they were amazed. They said, what manner of man is this? And that's the theme of the series of messages, is what manner of man is this? Who is this Jesus? And what effect would he have on us today? So they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And the passage goes on that they entered into the swine, they ran down the hill into the sea, and then down to verse 15, they come to Jesus and see him. Let me go back to verse 14. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him and that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. We think about Jesus and the impact that he's had on our lives. If it weren't for him, that personal relationship, where would we be? It all centers around a person. It's not a set of rules and doctrines. It's not just a religion. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And through that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it is transforming. Now, we go back to the middle, I assume it's near the middle of the Sea of Galilee. The disciples are struggling and rowing. My guess is they're rowing. If they were sailing, they probably would have made it. Probably they're rowing across, and the water is coming in the boat. And You know, it's an eerie feeling. If you're out in the water, you know, you feel good, but when water's coming in the boat and you're sinking and the waves are boisterous, what do? And Jesus is asleep. And the amazing thing is they waited until they got desperate. When they were desperate, they said, we better wake him up. You know, that's how sometimes the Lord works. So we have to get desperate before we realize, I need the Lord. So they got desperate and they said, don't you care that we perish? And I think they thought he was going to perish with them. Aren't you concerned about our dilemma? And of course, he rebuked them. Where's your faith? When he cried, peace be still, it was an amazing miracle. And it was a truth that he can calm any storm. You know, you could be in peace whether you're in a lion's den or whether you're in prison, no matter where you are, that there can be a solemn peace in your life, just trusting in the Lord. We think of what that must have been like. They were just astonished. And they said, what manner of man is this? Who would do such a thing? Who could do such a thing? What an amazing power. And I think that taught them something, but now they're coming to the shore of Gadara. And he's going to teach them something more about what manner of man he is. So as they come to shore, they see a wild man coming down the side of the rocky terrain. He's got hair just wild, his eyes aflame and bugging out, bruises and cuts all over his body. And the man is totally naked. And he's coming down the side of that mountain, and no doubt the disciples were fearful. We better land somewhere else. I mean, it reminds me of some of the friends that I grew up with that, you know, that kind of rough-looking characters. This was a rough-looking character. I mean, you think, wow, stay away from him. I know there were communities, there were people you stayed away from. There are houses you didn't visit because those people were wild. You may have known somebody like that. Maybe you know somebody like that now. But this man was wild and scary. And the people in the community had tried to tame this man. And so they bound him with chains, and he had a supernatural power that they couldn't even bind him with chains. And so here is this man coming down the mountain, and Jesus looks on him. And with the eyes of love, sees a man in need. Someone that was desperate. And that is the account of the story. Jesus was no ordinary man. He was God in the flesh. We see the nature of God revealed as he sees a man in desperate need. And this is his purpose, to seek and save the lost. Now we look at the man. I think there are two things that are important whenever we look at Scripture and we try to grow in our Christian life. One is to see the exceeding sinfulness of man. And the second is to see the supreme superiority of our Savior. And I think both of those are seen in this passage. So we see this man that was among the tombs. Now the tombs were also a place where they would keep the bones or bury people. Place of the dead. So here is this wild man living in the tombs. And it says day and night. It could be any time of the night. He could be walking along. Suddenly this man jumps out. I mean, that'd be pretty scary. So day and night. And he's crying and screaming. He's got cuts all over his body with stones. You can't imagine anyone more desperate and more pathetic than this man. And no one really could help him. He was found with the dead in the tombs. Now the disciples had just experienced a wonderful miracle, and they saw the power of Jesus Christ, that he could calm the storm. Now they're going to see a little more about his nature and what manner of man that he is. He sees this man and looks beyond the surface. He looks beyond the ugliness. Looks beyond the smell, and he sees the soul of a human being. That is our Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that he could see beyond my fault and he could see a soul in need. So he sees this man in a whole different light. I think probably that wild man saw Jesus differently than he saw every other human being. He comes to Jesus and sits in front of him and begins talking to him. So here is a man that was dead. That's the way all of us are. We're dead in trespasses and sins. We're among the dead, spiritually at least. We are among the dead. He was among the dead physically and spiritually. So you can imagine someone today living in a graveyard. I mean, that would be a strange person, wouldn't it? I mean, you meet strange people sometimes. That would be a strange person. Like a homeless person, but they're all messed up and they're ugly, they're unkept. And they, you know, you say, where do you live at? I live at St. Joseph Cemetery. And you think, honey, let's go get the kids in the van. We're leaving. I mean, this is not good. But he saw beyond all the problems that man had and saw a soul that would spend eternity in either heaven or hell. That's how he looks at each one of us. Every person in this world, he sees beyond our faults. And that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. You can't clean yourself up enough to get saved. You can't be good enough to merit salvation. He sees us for who we are. As Isaiah said, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But he sees beyond that and sees the soul that can be redeemed and can be changed. So he lived among the dead, in the tombs, as a wild man. But in reality, every fallen person, though we might look clean, we might seem to be among other decent people, maybe good people, the truth is we're all dead in trespasses and sins and need to be redeemed and need to be changed. So Jesus saw this extreme individual that was far and away ugly and vile, and everybody just looked down upon him. But he saw a soul. He sees those that are dead and sees them with the eyes of love and compassion. Second thing we see about this man is he broke loose from his chains. People made their effort to reform him. They thought, if we could just chain him and somehow contain him in some way, he'll come to his senses. See, that there are people who think, if I could just find a counselor or a psychiatrist, you know, they've got the answer. If there's someone that's well-educated and they have all these letters after their name, there's the answer. Someone is so well-learned and they have such a high degree that they've got to be so smart, they're the answer. But you see, the world did not have an answer. Right. And the world does not have an answer for the soul of any man. Amen. That Jesus Christ has the answer. So they bound him and they did all that they could. People tried to tie him up and tried to suppress him. They tried, as you will, to put him in a straitjacket or incarcerate him and some way physically help this man. Do you think about so many people in this world that they've tried everything? Nothing works. Nothing works. They've tried everything. You know, people tried to get dried out and they go away and then they come back and they're right back with their friends. We sent a man away one time that, man, he was looking good and healthy, had been away for 2 months. He came back, and the first day he came back, he found his friends, and he was back drinking a total wino. First day he came back. See, the answer is not just found in a program. The answer is not just found in an institution. It's found in a person, and it's a relationship with him. Now, young people, you grow up in a good environment, but let me tell you, the same is true. Now, you don't have to be a wild person. We're all dead. And the things of this world cannot give us the answer or solution that we need. And if you're looking at anywhere in the world to find an answer, you know, you'll find a way to get around it. So there's always a way that we can somehow avoid the very things that we need. But the real answer is not found in anything in the world. So this man was not able to be bound, but he had a reputation. Everybody knew what he was like. And sometimes we have a reputation. You think about it. What do people think about us? What do they think about you? Sometimes people get really discouraged and they think, yeah, I've got a terrible reputation. People know me. They know that where I'm at, they know exactly who I am. And man, I have a terrible reputation. Sometimes it goes right down the line of the family. That family has an awful reputation. You know, your reputation's important. Well, this man had a reputation because everybody knew about him. Everyone feared this man. And he was a strange individual, but no man could help him. He could break the chains, the fetters. I mean, nothing was the answer for him. And no man can help you or me except the Lord himself. A doctor might help your body and a psychiatrist might help your mind, but a man cannot help your soul. Only Jesus Christ can do that. So it doesn't matter what he dresses like. It doesn't matter who or that he prays, or it doesn't matter who he is. I mean, the answer was not found in anything he did. It was found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not until he met Christ was there any change. Third thing I see about him is he hated himself. Now, there is a sense where people love themselves. It says no man ever hated himself. Well, there are people that get to a point where they literally hate their environment, they hate the way they live, they hate what they're doing. And it seems like there's no answer. They just can't change. They can't get out of it. And they get so caught up in some vice or some problem. And it's like, why do I do this? Sometimes people even reach a point that they'll say, I don't even want to live anymore if I have to live this way. Sometimes they have so little purpose in life that they think, I'd be better off dead. When you look at the life of Job, he reached the point that he thought it'd been better had I not even been born. Sometimes we go through some difficulties, and sometimes we hate ourselves, or we're disgusted with our behavior or bad decisions that we make. And in this case, there's no doubt this man hated himself, because you see his behavior. You see he's going all over that area of Decapolis. He's all over that area, and he has this reputation. And he didn't like the way he's living, but he couldn't help it. He could not change. Until he met Christ. And then we know that Jesus saw what was happening. He realized this man is demon possessed. And we actually have a conversation. So we have three different pictures here. We have a picture of divinity of God working, and then we have a picture of the underworld of Satan, and then we see humanity, all three involved in this same event. So he begins a conversation, and the man is speaking, but it's not his voice. It's not him. The demons are speaking through him, and it's their voice that's talking. And so they're saying, you know, why'd you come to persecute us? Why did you do this to us? And it seems that they're fearing that they may be sent to an abyss, which they don't want. And Jesus cast out the demons. The demon was called Legion, which means there were many. I don't know how many there were. That a legion in the Roman army could be 4,000 to 6,000 people. I don't know if he had 4,000 to 6,000 demons or not. There were 2,000 swine, and all of them ran down the hill and evidently were possessed, so perhaps there were 2,000. But we know there was more than one. So it's one thing to be possessed by one demon, but there were many and perhaps a multitude of demons that possessed and controlled this man, so that what he did was even beyond his control. And Jesus cast them out. So he cast them out, and he granted their request that they would go into the swine. Now, I've always believed, growing up on the farm, that all pigs are demon-possessed. I always felt that. I've seen so many times that, you know, those pigs get out, and then, I mean, they just, boy, they're hard to control. And I can picture those 2,000 swine running violently down the hill, squealing and carrying on and running right into the water. I can just picture that happening. And but they did not want to go into the abyss, and they entered into the swine. So now, word gets out. Here's this man who now sitting and listening to Jesus in his right mind, it says fully clothed. I don't know where he got his clothes. I would be sure, if I was a preacher and somebody's naked, I'd make sure we found some, wouldn't you? Get that man some clothes. And so he's fully clothed and sitting in front of Jesus and listening. But the men who had the pigs, then this was like the lowest scum of the earth that would raise pigs in those days, because there was such a danger that people would die from it, from eating pork. And so it was not allowed by the Jews whatsoever. So these men had this business going. You might call them part of the underworld. And they go all over the area. And the word goes all over Decapolis. Decapolis, Deca giving 10, there were 10 cities over on that side of Galilee. That word went all over that area for several miles. And all the people came out. And they see this man fully clothed. They knew him. They said, that's him. That's him, all right. And he seems normal. And he's sitting in front of Jesus. You'd think, boy, they're going to get saved. They see this, they're going to be amazed. They're going to say, wow, this is what Jesus can do. I want what he just did for that man. But that's not what they did. They said, Jesus, we want you out of here. We don't need your kind around here. They're afraid. They're afraid of their business. They're afraid of what he might do. And they didn't want their life to be changed. So here was this man who was an outcast that receives the message of Christ. And then here are all these people that you'd think were normal that rejected it. So this man went around and published throughout all Decapolis and told people what Jesus had done. And he said, I want to go with you. And Jesus said, no, you go back to your family. That's where you belong. Go back to your home, go back to your area, and let them know what's happened in your life. So when we look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we learn something. He sees the soul of man. He sees beyond our faults, our fears, our struggles, and our problems. See, he knew who he was. See, Jesus is the I Am. He is the eternal one, eternal Father. As you go through Scripture, it tells us about him. It says he is the wisdom of God, the power of God, the anointed, the chosen of God, the prophet of God, the shepherd of God. He's the way, the truth, the life. He was the open door to get into heaven, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd standing before him, the bread of life, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the sun of righteousness, the dawning of man's night. He was a strong tower, and the strong tower to run into and be safe. He was a strength to the poor and strength to the needy, the refuge, the shelter in the time of storm, a covert in a tempest, a harbor for people, and the horn of salvation. See, people can try to make their own way. They can try to tame some man. They can try and tame their own life. But the truth is, it's only found through a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, he finally saw the truth. He saw the way of life. And it became life-changing. We don't read anymore about this man. But we have every reason to believe from that day forward, he was changed. He had an entirely different life. He never went back to that old life. It was a change that was permanent. He knew what the Lord had done for him. And he saw the power of Christ. As we think about our theme, what manner of man is this? He's the man that can change a person's life. He can take the wildest of people, demon-possessed, ostracized from the community, those who had lost hope and said, there's nothing we can do for that person, and he can change their life. And we've seen it over and over again. We read biographies about a lot of people that you think, they can't get any lower than they are. But the Lord is the one who can change them. In verses 16 and 17, it says, they saw it, told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And it says, they began to pray and asked him, saying, depart out of our coast. They didn't see what Jesus had done for the man. They didn't see the man. They didn't see the change in his life. They didn't see that he could do that for them. We have no comment by the disciples, but they observe what's going on. So they're chewing on this. They're thinking and meditating on this. What manner of man is this that he calms the storm? And what manner of man is this that can change a person's life? There's all kinds of things that we can talk about when we get to apologetics, to say, here's the evidence that there's a God. Here's the evidence of Jesus Christ that he was God. We can go through a lot of things that would cause us to believe. There's evidence to believe that all that's true. But maybe the one thing that no one can argue against, it's like the man that was blind. He said, one thing I know, I was blind, now I can see. So you figure that out. And this man could say, I know where I was at. I was demon-possessed and I was wild, but now I'm in my right mind. You can't argue with that because it's real. It's personal. And that's what he does to any person's life. So they suffered him not. They said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Decapolis is an area or region of 10 cities, basically, that covers several miles on the opposite side of the Sea of Galilee. Today it would be Jordan. And all those cities he went, talked about, here's what the Lord did for me. He wasn't talking about, look at me, look at what I've done. I got myself together. I saved myself. I turned my life around. Well, I determined that I'd get involved in a program, and that program changed my life. What he said was, I have no solution for any of my problems, but I met a man. What manner of man he was changed my life. Right. And that's what he'll do for any person. What manner of man is this? A man that will love the unlovely and will change a person's life. Let's bow for prayer tonight.